Today we're going to do the introduction to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. We've done some introductions of the Chafetz Chaim before, but we've never done the introduction to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. We've done the introduction to Avas Chesed, the introduction to Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Aleph and Chelek Gimel. Chafetz Chaim writes beautiful Hakdamos, and this is the Sefer that he's known by. His name is, he's known as the Chafetz Chaim, so I figured it would be a nice thing to do that. The Chafetz Chaim has very, very nice ideas in it and explains, obviously, the importance and the value of the Avera, just how significant the Avera of Lashon Hara actually is. I think we could divide up this Hakdama into five sections, if I'm not mistaken. And section one will be the Chafetz Chaim's description of how we have to hope for Geula and how Hashem really, really, really wants to bring us Geula. Section two is the reasons to focus on the Avera of Lashon Hara when thinking about how to achieve Geula. That's the appropriate thing to think about, is the Avera of Lashon Hara. Section three will be the reasons Chazal took Lashon Hara so seriously, why they thought Lashon Hara was such a terrible Avera. Section four is why we don't take it so seriously. If it's such a terrible Avera, and Chazal took it so seriously, why is it that people mess up in Lashon Hara all the time and don't take it nearly seriously enough? And then section five of that Dhamma, he explains this book, why he wrote this book, why so many people are ignorant about the halachos that are in this book, and what he hopes to accomplish with writing this book. So let us begin the Hakdama of the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim begins by telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, was Mavdilanu Mikol Ha'amim, Nasalanu was Taraso, Hichnisanu L'Eretz HaKodesh, all for one purpose, and that is Rak L'Tovaseinu. He's done all of this for our own benefit, so that we will be Kedoshim Elav, we will be able to raise our game, we will be able to achieve a sense of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that nobody else is able to achieve. V'yeh b'yocholteinu l'kabelas hashpa'as tuvo v'rov chazdo b'ol mazel v'olam haba. What Hashem wants from us is to be able to be mekabel all that He has to offer to us, to be able to receive His gifts, to be able to benefit from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to offer. He says it's a pasuk, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach, what does God ask from you, King of the Year, etc. Lishmaris mitzvos Hashem v'eschukosav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, to observe all the mitzvos, letov lach. Why do we observe the mitzvos? So that we could benefit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could do good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No. It's that we could do good for us, that Hashem wants us to be able to be klei kibul, who are able to receive the good hashpa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of the brachos that He would love to shower on us. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically, when He gives us the wonderful gift of Torah, unlike a basar v'dam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to abandon that gift. Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, tarasi al tazovu. Do not abandon the gift. You know, you might think, by a basar v'dam, says the Chafetz Chaim, you'll give somebody a gift sometimes, and you see that they don't really appreciate the gift. So what are you thinking if they don't appreciate the gift? You know, I gave something up that I really could have used and I really liked, but I wanted to show ahava to the other person, so I gave them this gift. And now I see they don't appreciate it, they're not doing anything with it, they don't like it. So what am I hoping for? Maybe one day they'll just be mafkir it, they'll leave it, and then I'll go back and I'll take it for myself. That is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attitude. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift, and when He sees that we start abandoning it, what does He do? He gives us Nevi'im, lahachzireinu lamutav. He sends us Nevi'im to encourage us to do tshuva. And even when we don't have Nevi'im, in the days of Bayasheni, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us? He gives us the opportunity to bring karbanos and to do all the mitzvos atzlius ba'aretz, to be able to dedicate our lives toward inyanim ruchniyim, toward spiritual matters, so that we will be able to receive the gifts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all of that was great when we had the Bayis Rishon, when we had the Bayis Sheni, but he points out in the bottom paragraph on the first page over here, Ach lebesof Bayis Sheni gavra sinas chinam v'lashon hara, Beinenu ba'avonosenu harabim. But at the end of Vayisheni, the sinas chinam and the lashon hara got out of control, and because of that, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. We were exiled from Eretz Yisrael. That's a beferish Gemara, Maseches Yuma Daf Tes. The Yerushalmi elaborates on it, and he says when the Gemara tells us that it's ba'avon sinas chinam, it doesn't just mean sinas chinam. Sinas chinam means lashon hara, and he says I have two rayas that sinas chinam in that context means specifically the sinas chinam that's expressed through lashon hara. First raya is that the Gemara says that shkula sinas chinam keneged avodah zarah gilui arayos ushvichos damim, and we happen to know that the Gemara in Erechin Daf Tezvav says the same exact thing about lashon hara. Gives you the sense that the idea that it's talking about when it says sinas chinam is this specific form of sinas chinam called lashon hara. And the second raya he says is migufa d'shmaita d'yumas, from the sugya yuma itself, midaparuch shamu v'mikdash rishon v'dokrin es chavrehen. The Gemara asks, but wait, didn't this exist in mikdash rishon? What did they do? V'dokrin es chavrehen. People backstabbed each other. That's lashon hara. That's not just sinas chinam. So he says it's clear that when we talk about sinas chinam being the cause of churban, what we mean is not just sinas chinam, but what we mean is actually lashon hara. And it's been many, many years. We haven't had a Beis HaMikdash. We daven every single day that Kadosh Baruch Hu bring geula. And miyom shenachar Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara in Bracha says, daf lamed beis, chomesh al barzel mafsekes ben Yisrael l'avim shebashmayim. It's like we have an iron wall separating us from Kadosh Baruch Hu. We daven, and nothing happens. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not listening to our complaints. He's not bringing us a geula. So one might think that Hashem's not listening. Chavetz Chaim says, make no mistake about it. Lo alav chas v'shalom hu tulunaseinu. Our complaint is not against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki im al atzmenu. Our only complaint is against ourselves. In the days of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the Gemara says in Perchelek Masech Sanhedrin Daf Tzadiches that in Bekoli Tishmu and Yavo Mashiach, that Klal Yisrael was told, listen, you do tshuva now, right now, it's a Shas HaKosher, Mashiach will come, even though the predetermined amount of time that we have to be in Galus was not yet finished. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to bring the Geula early, if we are willing to turn to him and really do a proper kind of tshuva. So tshuva could be mevatel the gezeira. So the Chavetz Chaim says, if that's true in the days of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Kal v'chomer, more than 800, 900 years later, nowadays HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be ready to bring the geula, but it doesn't come not because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready. It doesn't come because of us. So section one, the Chavetz Chaim sets up the idea that we're waiting for Geula, Hashem wants to bring us Geula, Hashem is ready to bring us Geula, but we know Ba'avon Sinas Chinam, which equals Lashon Hara, we haven't been able to achieve Geula, and we need to look internally in order to understand why we haven't been able to achieve Geula. So now section two, the Chavetz Chaim says, why would I focus, of all the averos that people do, why would I focus specifically on the aver of lashon hara? So in section two, in the middle of the second page over here, he writes, "B'chasher nach psodrachkenu v'nach kora." When we start analyzing our ways, "Eza avonos hei meha'ikarim hagormim la'arichus galusenu nimtzaim harbei." You look for averos that cause the long exile that we're in. You'll find many, many examples of averos. Ach, chet ha'lashon hu al kulo. But lashon hara is above and beyond all the rest of them. Mipnei kama ta'amim, for the following three reasons, says the Chavetz Chaim. Number one, kivan shezeh hayah ikr l'sibas galusenu, k'mo she'evenu migmar yomim Yerushalmi. Since lashon hara is what caused our galus, it makes sense that it needs to be corrected before we experience our geula. Whatever caused our galus has to be fixed if we want to achieve geula. That's reason number one to focus on lashon hara. Va'odi says, "Halo yadua u'shenigzar lenu galus mikvar meis ma'isa meraglim." The gezera of galus, even before the galus actually happened, before Kadosh Baruch Hu actually punished us, before we actually really, really earned it, the idea that there would one day be a galus was first brought up after Yitzias Mitzrayim at the Cheda Meraglim. And what was the Cheda Meraglim? It was lashon hara. So the very gezeira, the very notion of galus was dreamt up by HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically in response to the Cheda Meraglim. And therefore, if we want to defeat galus, if we want to get out of galus, we need to fix the Cheda Meraglim, which of course is lashon hara. Va'od, and third, says the Chavetz Chaim, Nimtza meforash sha'avon zeh gorim shi Yisrael nirdim befarech. We find explicitly that it's this avera that causes us to be subject to all sorts of difficult, back-breaking labor. The pasuk says in Parsha Shemos, Achein noda davar, that the matter has become known, and it says in the Medrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'olam hazeh al yitmin, Achein noda davar means people are talking. Achein noda davar means that something that I thought would stay quiet hasn't stayed quiet. Why hasn't it stayed quiet? Because people can't keep their mouths shut. People keep talking, and people keep spreading the word, and that's bad. And the Medrash in Parsha Kiseitze, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, because of the Lashon Hara in our midst, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken away the Shechina. I said there are going to be three reasons, it's really going to be five. Five reasons that he identifies Lashon Hara as the key. So when is and that's the pasuk Vayibishurun Melech v'sasef Rosh Hayom Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. When is the Melech Biyishurun? Dafka when we're Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, when we're not Agudos Agudos, we're not split up into different groups, into different segments, and that comes about because of Lashon Hara. Why do people split up from each other and go in their own corners? Because of the Aver of Lashon Hara. Fourth, he says, fourth of the five reasons that we know to focus specifically on Lashon Hara, he writes, Ulevadze, Heichi cholos lachul aleinu birchos of Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, shonu mekavim lezeh, kiven debav anaseinu rabim anu morgalim echad zeh. He says, it's impossible for a bracha to be chal on us. Let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready. The time is here. Hashem is interested. Hashem is willing. Hashem wants to give us bracha. We can't experience bracha when we are right in the middle of an arur. And the pasuk says, arur makarei ehu basaser. What does it mean, makarei ehu basaser? So one of the explanations of Rashi is Lashon Hara. So if what we experience on a daily basis is arur, well then there's no room for bracha. A bracha cannot be chal on an arur. That's that we already know from Sefer Bereishis, that arur kanan, and therefore we can't take Yitzchak couldn't take a wife mibnos kanan, because he can't have a bracha that's chal on arur. So we can't have, if we're experiencing a life of arur, then we can't possibly have bracha. And then the fifth and final reason that Lashon Hara is where to turn if we want to figure out how to achieve Geula. The Gemara in Erechin says that this Avera is so big that it's Ein Lashir, and it's Kofer B'Ikr, it's Kikofer B'Ikr Chas V'Shalom. The Gemara says someone who speaks Lashon Hara, it's as if he has denied the very existence of God. The Yerushalmi Maseches Peah says that this is an Avera that's Nifran Min Ha'Adam Avor Zeh Avon Bolam Hazeh V'Keren Kayam Asolam Abba. We're familiar with the Mishnah at the beginning of Peah, of the mitzvos that are Keren Kayam Asolam Abba, that we get schar for in this world and still Keren Kayam Asolam Abba. What about Averos? Is there any such thing as an Avera that we get punished for in this world and still Keren Kayam Asolam Abba? Yes, Lashon Hara is just such an Avera. So that's why Lashon Hara has to be focused on. And he says, you know, if you really look carefully at my Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, where I go through all the Mamarim of Chazal and the Midrashim and the Zohar about Lashon Hara, Mi sheya'ayin v'yisbonin heitev bahem, tisomer sa'aros rosho migodol ha'avon. It will make your hair stand up on end because of the greatness of this Avera. It will frighten you a great deal when you contemplate just how serious this Avera is. So again, section 2 of the Hakdama of the Chafetz Chaim says five reasons that if we want Geula, we need to focus on Lashon Hara. Reason number one, it was the cause of the Galus in the first place, like the Gemara in Yuma said. Reason number two, the very notion of Galus was thought of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the Cheder Meraglim. Reason number three, Avodas Parech comes about because of Lashon Hara. Reason number four, we can't have bracha when we're experiencing Arur Makare Ehu Basaser. And reason number five, it is the worst Avera on earth. It is Keren Kayam Asolam Abba, it's Kofer Be'ikr. So those are the five reasons that if we want Geula, we need to fix the Avera of Lashon Hara. Now he moves on to section 3 of the introduction, and that is why it is, now that he's established the Chazal were very serious about Lashon Hara, where they see it as the cause of all evil and the root of all galus, etc. Why? Why did they see it as such a terrible thing? What is it about Lashon Hara that's quite so terrible? So first he quotes a lengthy passage from the Zohar in Parshas Pekudei. It's translated in this edition of the Chafetz Chaim. I don't know if it's translated in every edition, but it's translated into Hebrew. in this edition, on the bottom of the, I guess the third page, I have page Tes, on the bottom of page Tes, the Targum is, Yesh Ruach Achas Shomedes Al Kol Osam Balei Lashon Hara. There's a certain spirit that hovers above Balei Lashon Hara. B'kasher Mis'orim B'nei Adam B'Lashon Hara, O Adam Echad Shemis'or B'Lashon Hara, and when a person is involved in Lashon Hara, that Ruach Ra is awoken, Hanikre Sichsucha, that Ruach is called Sichsucha, Vishara Alosa Isaurus Shalashon Hara, Shapascha Ba Bnei Adam, and it's sort of, it thrives off of Lashon Hara. This Ruach Ra lives on Lashon Hara. V'olo l'malo v'garem esposo esaru shalashon hara maves v'chere v'hereg ba'olam. And it uses that Lashon Hara to fuel it as it goes up l'mayla and argues in favor of all bad things to happen in this world. Death and people to get killed. So when one speaks Lashon Hara, they're essentially giving the rights to the prosecutor up in Shemayim to push for more death and destruction down here on earth. So that's a passage from the Zohar. Then he goes on to say that that's really what the Gemara in Eruchin means as well. The Gemara in Eruchin says, "Kalamasaper lashon hara magdil avonos ad l'shamayim." That is, averos go up ad l'shamayim. What does it mean ad l'shamayim? He says probably referring to what that Zohar was talking about. That in some way gives that malach, that ruach, whatever you want to call it, that koach to argue against us. That's what the Tana de Be'elio says. Lashon hara shu masaper hu ola ad keneged kisei hakavod. That when one speaks lashon hara, the lashon hara goes all the way up to keneged kisei hakavod. But the Chafetz Chaim says there's another element also. There's another reason that Chazal were so serious about lashon hara in particular, and that is in middle of page Yud with the paragraph that begins va'od, and he says va'od tam achel legodel hapagam shabal yidei avon zeh. Another reason that this is considered such a terribly destructive avera, and you would think he's about to say, look what you do to other people, look how you can ruin people's lives, people's reputations. He says no, look at what you do to yourself. When a person ruins his mouth with slander, who monea achar kach kol diburim shel kodesh u'medaber mila l'mala. So much of what a Jew does and accomplishes in the experience of Kedusha involves using our mouths properly, using our mouths to daven, to verbalize our tefillos, our shevach, and our hoda'ah, and our bakashas tzrachim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, using our mouths to verbalize Torah thoughts, to put words to Torah thoughts. Well, all of that Kedusha that emanates from our mouths is tainted when our mouth is a kli that's used for Tumah, when our mouth is a kli that's used for Averos, for Lashon Hara. So he says that's another reason why Chazal took it so seriously. And then he says, and if we think about it a little more, aside from just the severity of the Avera, that if it were something like, let's say, Chilul Shabbos, a very, very terrible Avera. So a person's Mechal Shabbos, terrible, terrible thing. Person's going to speak Lashon Hara, terrible, terrible thing. So why are we emphasizing Lashon Hara more? He says, think about how often you do each of those things. You have a person who's basically from, a person who's basically Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. How often is he Mechal Shabbos? He doesn't give the example of Chil Shabbos, but let's say, how often is he Mechal Shabbos? How often does he eat something that's not kosher? So not that often. It's a terrible Avera, but it's not that often that he does something like that. And how often does one speak Lashon Hara? He says, Kama meos va'alafim pa'amim b'yimechayim. Hundreds, if not thousands of times in a person's life. He says, even if it were the smallest avera in the whole world, if you were to take a small avera and do it over and over and over and over again, just the sheer quantity of the times that you do that avera would make it big. He says, you know, imagine like, you know, this desk is very thick and it's very solid and you're not going to break it, you can't chop it, you're not going to be able to break it easily. Imagine something thin like a piece of paper. So a piece of paper is very thin, it's not it's very easy to tear, it's very easy to break. But then you pile it, another paper on top of another paper on top of another paper, and you end up with papers with a stack this thick, and all of a sudden you cannot break through it. All of a sudden it's something that's extremely powerful, extremely heavy, and extremely rock solid. And that's what Lashon Hara, he says, even if Lashon Hara were the tiniest of Aveira on earth. It was just a piece of paper. But just the fact that you do it over and over and over again would make it stronger than the most severe Aveira on earth. It would make it stronger than the desk that's in front of us. That alone would give her power. Kal v'chomer, when you're dealing with an Aveira that in fact is so serious, and you double it over and triple it over and quadruple it over, over and over and over and over, so obviously we're dealing with something very, very significant. So that is why, says the Chafetz Chaim, we need to focus specifically, Chazal focused specifically on Lashon Hara to take it so very seriously. Which leads us to the question, the Chafetz Chaim says the fourth part of the introduction now, leads us to the question of why is it so ignored? So again, section 3, why did Chazal take it so seriously? The lengthy passage in the Zohar about how the Lashon Hara fuels a kitrug against Klal Yisrael up in Shemayim. It goes ad l'Shemayim. It ruins our Torah, the Kedusha that comes out of our mouth, and we do it so much that it's, even if it were a tiny Aveira, it would become unbearably difficult to overcome. So then we move on to the fourth section of the introduction. So why do we ignore it? Why is it that people ignore it? So he says, you have to divide people into two groups. There's one group of people that we would call the Hamonam, and the other group of people that are called Balei Torah. They're ignorant people, and they're knowledgeable people. So he says, when it comes to the ignorant people, well, that's easy to explain why they violate Lashon Hara so much. Einam yodim klal she'isra Lashon Hara hu afilu alemes. They don't know. They know there's such an avera called Lashon Hara. They don't know you're not allowed to tell the truth. They assume that Lashon Hara is when you say something not nice, that's not true about somebody. But when you say something not nice, that's true, people have no idea that that's called Lashon Hara. That's ignorant people. What about Balei Torah? What about people who do know something? Why did they violate Lashon Hara? What's their excuse? So he says there are several excuses that they come up with. Number one, a lot of them have the Yetzer Hara that convinces them to say that shetekav machshav yitzhar barayonav as a issue misaper lav lechonev v'amelam mitzvah lefarsim as a chanef varashayim. There are certain people about whom it is mutter to speak lashon hara. So a person immediately assumes that anyone he has something bad to say about is enough of a rasha, enough of a chonev to deserve the lashon hara, or not be kores, or any of the other heterim that we have about whom to speak lashon hara. So a person will very easily, in his mind, put that person in the category as he's about to speak the lashon hara. He'll say, "Oh, the guy's a bal machlokas. You're allowed to be mesaper lashon hara about a bal machlokas, or it's apetlasa. The whole world knows about it, and we know there's halacha lashon hara that comes from the mesaper apetlasa. Anything that was said in front of three people, lasa mishum lishna bisha. There's no issue of Lashon Hara anymore. Let alone, leave alone the fact that the Chafetz Chaim goes through all the details of when Apei Tlasa applies, and the answer is pretty much never, but it's pretty much all the Heterim. He goes through all the Heterim for Lashon Hara, when the Heterim apply, and you go through all the lists. First of all, every single list starts with, whenever he has any Heter, it always starts with, it has to be the Shem Shemayim, L'Toeles, and not because you're trying to put the other person down. So right away, we disqualify ourselves from, you know, pretty much every Lashon Hara that we ever speak. You know, it's never a good excuse. And then he says, well, you'll say the Heter of Ape Mara, that you think in your mind that, you know what, if he was right here, I would say it to his face. So anything I would say to his face is not Lashon Hara. But we know that that's not true. We know we would never say it to his face. Someone sent me a video, I'm sure you saw it, or I don't know, I'm not really sure, but someone sent me a video of a one of the late night shows, one of the Jimmies. One of the late night shows had, when Robinson Cano came back to New York. You saw it? Did you see? When Robinson Cano came back to New York, you know Robinson Cano is? Are you a baseball fan at all? Yeah, okay. So when Robinson Cano came back to New York for his first series against the Yankees since leaving, so they set up a big cardboard cutout of Robinson Cano in the middle of New York City, and they were pulling aside fans and saying, what do you want to say to Robinson Cano? Yell it at this picture of Robinson Cano. And everyone's yelling, you went for the money, you abandoned us, we hate you, boo, boo. And they're like yelling in the cardboard cutout's ear, and then Robinson Cano walks out from behind the cardboard cutout. And they're like, oh my God. And you know, and it was such muster, because that's what the Chafetz Chaim saw, man. That's Lashon Hara, that's the Ape Mara. Everyone says, yeah, I would say it to his face, whatever I'm saying. But then, like, you see his face, and he's there, and you would never, ever say it to his face. Not a million years would you say it to his face? And that's the majority of Lashon Hara, that no one would ever say it to the person's face, but we convince ourselves in our minds, yeah, it's so bad, I would say it to his face. I would tell him off. And we know that we wouldn't do it. And sometimes he says, the Yetzer Hara is mefateu be'ichus hadavar. The Yetzer Hara will tell us not about not to justify the Lashon Hara on the grounds of who we are speaking about, but to justify the Lashon Hara on the grounds that it's not really Lashon Hara. For example, we say, I'm just saying, you know, his various qualities. So I tell you, he's not so bright. That's a quality that he has. He's a wonderful guy. Nothing. So I'm just describing. He's fine. He's erlich. He's good. He's stupid. You know. He's not so bright. Whatever. So what's so terrible about saying something like that? He says that's lashon hara. To say that someone is not a chacham is lashon hara. And the Chafetz Chaim says, and if you don't believe me, look carefully at what I wrote in Klal Hey. And in Klal Hey, he writes that this is much later in the sefer. I didn't photocopy it for you, but he says, let me explain to you. Im amar alav sheinenu chacham. Ein chisaron gadol mizeh al pi emes. That's the worst thing you can say about a person. Ki im huadayin eino nasui, im misparsim zel anashim lo yimasi mishir tzil schatin imo. People want to marry someone that they view as intelligent. So you say about a single guy, hey, he's not so smart. So then who's going to want to marry him? Vimu bal esek, eze esek sheyesh lo, heinum nusum lamdus lo yimasi mishir tzil schabir imo bin yonab. A businessman, you say, hey, he's not so smart. Who's going to do business? Who's going to join a shutfus with a person who's in business that everyone thinks he's not so smart? So you're not allowed to say that. Or if he's, says, can you imagine, he's an ish mara hara abi Yisrael. He's a rabbi, he's a posek. And you say to people, hey, he's not so smart. He doesn't really know so much. So aside for the Yisrael hara, Yisrael lashon hara min haTorah, where people certainly are in violation of saying that. But if people have accepted this person as their mara hara, so it's going to cause him to lose his job, who's going to go ask him a shaylith? And if people think he's not so smart. And he says it could be worse than that. It could be that if the Anshei Ya'ir start to think that the person is not worth anything, so they'll stop asking shaylas entirely. The whole Kabbalat Torah v'lamdeha. Well, all these other rabbis respect him, but if he's not so smart, why do they respect him? They must all be idiots. So it's going to cause the whole Kabbalat Torah to go down. If it's Kabbalat Torah, then B'nai Yeshiva, there's not going to be any covet for. Why should anyone ever learn? And learn in Yeshiva, it's just a bunch of idiots. It's no one of any intelligence. And he says, Oda Shalchachi, Aldvar Pitoy Hayetzer Shadavar Zeh Nen Mechal Lashon Hara. He says, if you're not sure whether it's Lashon Hara to say that somebody's not so smart, imagine someone saying it about you. And all of a sudden it feels like Lashon Hara. What do you mean I'm not so smart? What did I do that was stupid? What made you think I was stupid? What did I do that was not smart? Why, right away we start thinking, well, I'm very smart. If it's the kind of thing that you would be insulted if someone said it about you, then when you say it about somebody else, that's Lashon Hara. And he says, V'kolzeh kasavnu afilum lo amar alav rak she'inenu chacham b'inyonei ha'olam. He says, that's even if you just say stam, that he's not so smart in olam hazeh related issues. But kol she'kenim sipar al isha sovraman she'ir shu chacham b'torah. If you say about someone who people think he's a chacham b'torah, and you say, okay, he's not such a great Talmud chacham. He just knows a little bit of Torah, and he knows a couple of topics, so that's why he has such a reputation. So if you're just trying to be mashpilo mi madrigaso, you're just trying to knock him down. If you think it's a terrible mikshol that people are going to ask him shailas and mamish doesn't know the answers, and he's not honest, and he's telling answers that are incorrect, that he's misleading people, that's one story. That's the toelas. But stam, just to knock a guy down, just to say that he's not qualified, that absolutely is extremely destructive. He says, I'll give you two examples. Lomra la rab shabi'ir lefnei anshei ir sheinenu chacham gadol b'torah. To say, oh, your rabbi is a nice guy, he's not a talmud chacham. No, he's a nice guy, but not a talmud chacham. He knows a few piskei halachos that, so even if it's true, lashon hara gemuri himi daraisa, because you're being mimite his kavod entirely, v'yorid the mechiaso mamish. It's important that people think that their rabbi is a Talmud Chacham. Whether he is or he isn't, let them think he's a Talmud Chacham. That's okay, as long as he's honest and as long as he knows how to ask a shaila when he doesn't know the answers. So good, let them think he's a Talmud Chacham. Or he says, I'll give you another example. I try not to correct my balabatim when they think I'm a talmud chacham. I try to, let them think that way. So good. So if I have a shayla, I'll ask Rav Shechter. It will be fine. I'll get the right answer. But it's better that people think that way. Alomer me'ein ze al mishu ata mechadosh nasui bi irazos ki bevada yismoti b'sof kvodo izel v'nei cham v'chamos v'an shebeisav. This is big. This is big for our generation. Chavetz Chaim says a guy is getting married. So what do? You have to speak at the afruf. So what do you say at the afruf? It's the roast. You roast him at the afruf. And who's at the afruf? His future brothers-in-law. One who's a successful doctor and one is a successful lawyer. And Nebuch, your friend, is the yeshiva bachur that the family's not so sure if he's totally normal or not. Should they really be giving away their daughter/sister to your friend? And you're going to get up and you're going to say, this Ben Torah. This Ben Torah, he used to get drunk in high school, and he did the stupidest thing once. And you're going to start talking like this, and what's the father-in-law sitting there thinking? The future father-in-law, who's so anxious about giving away his daughter to this guy, what's he thinking during that time? So it's going to be terrible. Tein l'chacham v'yech kamod, he says, ki lo basi rak la'orer. He says, I'm just making a ha'ara. Think about that before you speak about a person who just got engaged, or you speak about a person who's just getting married. It's a difficult enough transition into married life and into a new family without creating the problems of planting ideas in the heads of the mechutanim about what's wrong with this guy. Chavetz Chaim also points out elsewhere in the Sefer that a lot of people are under the wrong impression that you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara once you get married, about your wife's family to your own family. They're allowed to make fun of everything that they do and all the different, the silliness that you perceive in their family. So the Yisra of Lashon Hara applies to men and to women, to your family, to your wife's family, to in-laws and to parents. It applies to everybody. There's no heter of Lashon Hara. So that's one of the justifications. People say, it's not Lashon Hara. I'm just saying he's not smart. I'm just describing him. And one of the descriptions is he's not smart. Well, that is, in fact, Lashon Hara. They said the Yetzer Hara has a couple of go-to ploys that the Yetzer Hara, tools that the Yetzer Hara has in his tool chest. Number one, he tells you that it's not Lashon Hara. Number two, he tells you that for this person, like we just said, there's no issue of telling Lashon Hara. But then he has a third way of getting at us, aside from the two we just mentioned. If he sees that he's not successful in the other two ways, the Yetzer Hara is Miramos or Behefich. The Yetzer Hara says, it is Lashon Hara. And it's an issue to speak about this person in this way. But you know what? It's an issue to speak about anybody in that way, or to speak about anybody in any way, pretty much. And no matter what you do, you're going to violate Lashon Hara, because it's impossible to observe all these halachos. So it's a gzeirah she'ena tzibur yichol namuba. You can't be a normal human being if you're careful about Lashon Hara. So you might as well just throw in the towel and forget about Lashon Hara, because there's no way you're ever going to be successful and you're ever going to be able to talk to anybody about anything without Lashon Hara. And that's the third way the Yetzer Hara gets us, by having us give up. By having us think that it's impossible. They say that the Chavetz Chaim was a very talkative person, which is astonishing. You would think that what could he say? There's nothing to say, because everything is Lashon Hara. But he was a talkative person, and still, not even a shemitz of Lashon Hara ever crossed his lips. Aside from that, they say the story, right, that the Bachar came to the Chavetz Chaim on Purim, and he was inebriated, and he says, Rabbi, I want you to give me a bracha, that I'll have a chelek next to you in Olam Haba. And the Chavetz Chaim ignored him, and he begged, please, please, a bracha that I should have a chelek next to you in Olam Haba. So the Chavetz Chaim said, okay, take a neder right now that you're never going to speak Lashon Hara again, you'll sit right next to me in Olam Haba. And the Bachar said, I can't do that, how am I supposed to do that? So the Chavetz Chaim was very agitated, and he said, get this guy away from me. Here I just gave him a derech right to Olam Haba. I offered him Olam Haba, and he wouldn't take it. How could you not take it? Meaning that it's doable. It's doable. We just don't think of it as doable. And then he says, there's another way the Yetzer Hara gets us, and the Yetzer Hara tells us that there's no Isser of being Mekabel Lashon Hara, of hearing it and believing it. It's an Isser to spread it, that we know, to spread Lashon Hara, but what's wrong with just believing it, just listening to it and believing it belave? So it is an Isser to believe it belave as well. So he says, because of that, people give up entirely on trying to observe these halachos. And mimela, what do we speak about? We speak with whatever comes out of our mouths. We don't even think about it. We don't even think for a minute that, you know what, maybe this is Rechilus Lashon. Before we speak anything, we have to think, wait, is this Rechilus? Is this Lashon Hara? But we don't bother doing that. Because and it's most people stop thinking of it as an Avera at all. So that is section 4. Why is it so ignored? All the justifications, what I'm about to say isn't Lashon Hara, the person I'm talking about, there's no Isser, it's impossible to avoid the Isser, there's no Isser of being Mekabel Lashon Hara, and then ultimately with all those factors, we just stop thinking entirely. And once you stop thinking entirely, well then everything that comes out of your mouth could be Lashon Hara if you stop thinking entirely. Which all brings us, says the Chavetz Chaim, to why I wrote this book, and what this book is here for. We call Elu Hasibos Ikaramu Mitzad Shlo Neskabetz B'makom Echad Inyan Lashon Hara Urechilus is the bottom of page 8. All of these things are because all of these Mechsholim happen because there's nowhere that anyone ever gathered together and collected all of the halachos of Lashon Hara and Rechilus to explain the severity of the Avera, the details of the Avera, the halachos. It's all over the place. It's Mefuzer B'Shas V'Rishonim. Even the Rambam in the 7th parak of Hilchos Deos and the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva that have a little bit of a section on Lashon Hara, but they're so brief in the way they describe it that it would be impossible, it's nearly impossible to really derive all of the halachas just from reading those small sections. So he says, that's where I come in. Kibatzti kol dinei Lashon Hara Rechilus al Sefer. I've gathered it all together from all different places in Shas and Poskim, the Rambam, the Smag, the Shari Tshuva, the Rabbeinu Yonah, and even dinim that I found in Tshuva Smar Rik and other tshuvas that are nogea to this. And he said, I divided the Sefer into two parts. Hilchas Yisurei Lashon Hara, Hilchas Yisurei Rechilus. And in the footnote he says, I understand that a lot of what I write about Rechilus is just a repetition of what I wrote about Lashon Hara, but I didn't want to be somech that people who are learning the Rechilus part have already seen the Lashon Hara part. What I'm trying to do, says the Chavetz Chaim, is that if a person has a shaila, is this Lashon Hara, he should be able to look up in a section of the book and find whatever he needs to know about that situation. So if a person wants to know, is he allowed to speak Lashon Hara about a particular person? So you could look in the Klal, whatever it was, Klal Ches of the book, where he discusses about whom you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara. So I had to repeat several things so that it could be a reference book. It's not just a Limud Yomi kind of book. It should also be a reference book that when one has a Shaila in Lashon Hara, they should look it up. I once searched on the Bar Ilan for Shailas relating to Lashon Hara, and there's astonishingly little. People don't ask Shailas about Lashon Hara. They either do it or they don't do it, whatever they do, but they don't ask Shailas about Lashon Hara. It's very sad. We really should. We should ask Shaila Moshe, look at Nigrus Moshe with all of his thousands of tshuvas. How many tshuvas does he have about Lashon Hara? He has about whether a kid could rat out another kid, okay? He doesn't have very much at all about Lashon Hara. He has about with a person's who's coming to collect tzedakah, whether a person who's giving can tell, you know, you should go to my friend and go to that friend and go to this guy and send him in the right direction, where it's going to cost all these other people money to have to give tzedakah. He doesn't really have much in terms of halachas of Lashon Hara because he was responding to questions that people asked. And if people didn't ask, he didn't answer. And people weren't asking about Lashon Hara. He says they're called the Sefer Chavetz Chaim for the obvious reason. Mi ha'ish ha'chavetz chaim, nitzol lashon chanera, person who is a chavetz chaim, someone who guards his tongue, doesn't speak badly. And even within each section of the book, he says, you'll notice that there are two parts to the book. If you actually look in the Sefer, there's a part called Mekara Chaim and then Be'er Mayim Chaim. The Mekara Chaim is the halachos. This is what you need to know, this is what you have to do. If you don't believe me that it's based on something, look in the Be'er Mayim Chaim. I explain to you exactly which sugya in Shas, which we've shown him, and go in great detail of how I derived these halachos. And he says, and everything is documented. There is nothing here that I made up. Sefer ze lo chibarti al pi midas chasidus, rak al tzad adin. do not make the mistake of thinking this is a Musar Sefer of Lifnim Yishuras Adin and Chasidus and what a person could do that's above and beyond what is expected of him. No, this is what's expected of everybody. This is Halacha. And he says, you might think, well, wait a second, I see in this book, you're quoting Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva all the time. Isn't that, after all, not a Halacha Sefer? That's a Musar Sefer? So he says, Ki Be'emes Nirelei Naim Lamisbonein Heitev B'mamar of HaKadosh B'kama Mekomos She'shamar V'dikteik Es Devarav Shel Yetzei Migeder Adin. Rabbeinu Yonah was very careful that even though he was writing a Musar Sefer, everything he wrote was Besoch Geder Hadin, was included in Din. He says, but he didn't quote any stam chumras. That's just not what he did. He was quoting dinim. He was quoting halachos. He says, I'll tell you, if you're going to think something is a chumra bialma or an arichas halashon lotzorech, if you think I wrote something that's a chumra or something that's unnecessary, he says, look again. The Chafetz Chaim with great confidence says, if you think I made a mistake here, and you think I wrote something that's not really required, look again. Look more carefully. You have no idea how much time I put into this work, says the Chafetz Chaim. And if I put my, he doesn't say this, but if the Chafetz Chaim put his ample intelligence and energy into this book, and we think that he's missed something or messed something up, chances are we haven't looked carefully enough. So the Chafetz Chaim says, I want you to know, kama pa'amim yanti b'inyanechad kama yamin. You'll find sometimes a single little si'if in this book that I worked on for days of the Chafetz Chaim. So what are we going to do? We'll pick it up and we'll learn Chafetz Chaim Yomi, and we'll say, oh, I'll spend my 5 minutes a day learning the Chafetz Chaim. And no, that's a chumrah. That's not really a thing. That's not really a halacha. Who are we to say that? This is the Chafetz Chaim spent days working on it and documenting it. So he says, before you judge me, I may be wrong, but before you judge me, put in that kind of time to make sure that I'm wrong before you assume that I'm wrong. He says, sometimes you might notice my language is a little awkward in the book because I try to do as much as I can to preserve the language of the Rishonim from whom I'm taking, you know, like the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Yonah, so it could come out a little bit awkward, but I try to preserve their Lashonos. And he says, I do realize that there is a risk in publishing a book on Lashon Hara, and that risk is that people who want to speak Lashon Hara will use it to twist my words and find a heter. They'll say, oh, it says here you let us speak Lashon Hara, but not Bikaris, that person's not Bikaris, because they don't view everything exactly ashkafically the way I view things, and after all, isn't that the definition of Apikaris? It says that somewhere, that someone who disagrees with me is an Apikaris. So Mela, you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara about anybody and everybody. So he says, I understand that people will do that. Yesharim Dark Hashem, Tzadiku Yelchubam, V'chulei, Poshim Mikashlubam. What can I do? I have to give you the Torah. I'll give you Torah straight, and if you're a tzaddik, you'll do good with it. And if you're not a tzaddik, you won't do good with it. And in a footnote, he says, you're also going to find people that will respond to this book by saying, it's not so important to learn about these things. Better not to learn about these things. Mutav Shushogin Volume Azidin. Everyone's going to do the Avera anyway. So why should you have people learn about it? Now they're going to know that it's just going to make them feel guilty while they do the Avera. It's not going to discourage them from doing the Avera. So Chafetz Chaim says, I have two responses to that. First of all, there's no such concept of Mutav Shushogin Volume Azidin by something that's Mufurash B'Torah. And Lashon Hara and Rechilus are Mufurash in the Torah. And he says, if you want to take that attitude, so we should stop teaching about Gezel, because the Gemara says that Rubam B'Gezel, most people violate Gezel at some point in their lives. So good, so we shouldn't speak about Gezel. We shouldn't learn Hilchos Shabbos, because it's Harar Matulim B'Sa'ara, there's so many dinim in Hilchos Shabbos. See my introduction to Chela Gimel of Mishabura, he doesn't say it, but see the introduction to Chela Gimel of Mishabura, where he describes how if you don't know Hilchos Shabbos, it's impossible to really observe Shabbos. So that's number one. That's the first reason why you don't say Mutav Shushogin Volume Azidin. Second reason, he says, is that there aren't that many things that we have to remember each and every day of our lives. There are Sheish Zechiros, and one of them is Maisa Miriam. What are you supposed to remember about Miriam? You're supposed to remember about Lashon Hara. You're supposed to remember about how bad it is to speak Lashon Hara. That's what the whole thing's about. So don't tell me that people should ignore Lashon Hara, they should ignore the whole topic, because they're going to violate it anyway. It's one of the six things you have to remember every day. How could you possibly just ignore it? So he says, that can't possibly be the correct attitude. And you'll find, he says, that when you learn a topic, whatever topic it may be, but particularly this topic, Of course you'll violate an Avera every once in a while, and you'll speak Lashon Hara once in a while, but at least you'll know that you have to ask Mechila, and at least you'll only violate the Avera once in a while. You're not going to violate the Avera all the time. As soon as you make something a topic of conversation, and you make it something that's, you know, that's sort of closer to the center of your consciousness, you'll do a lot better with it. And he says, aside from that, the Medrash says in Parshas Naso, Im yagata harbe b'divrayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu meser yetzer hara mimcha. One segula for defeating the yetzer hara is to learn about the topic that you're trying, the avera that you're trying to avoid. So Marti Alibi says that the Chavetz Chaim concludes, Efshar shal yidei sheya'aynu b'sefer hazeh, shemulukat mikol divrei rishonim b'inyan zeh yisbonenu bo. Maybe if people learn the sefer that's gathered together and collected from all the rishonim, l'yishlot kol kach ha'yetzer hara b'avon zeh, u'memele k'sheyimshoch mitchilas atzmo mi'avon zeh b'miktsas, v'hemsheich hazman yimshoch es yado mimenu l'gamri. I don't expect a person to say, I'm never ever going to speak Lashon Hara again in a single moment. You'll start to learn the Sefer, and you'll do the Avera less, and you'll develop new habits of how to speak. And when you develop those new habits, ultimately, Lashon Hara will be taken out of our vocabularies, out of our repertoire of what we speak about. Ki bavonza harbi menu hergelosa. Most of this Avera is just habitual. It's the way we speak. It's the way we're used to speaking. So someone who wants to avoid it, who wants to develop new habits, it's possible. I'm reading, that's what the book I'm reading now is about, developing new habits, how to overcome old habits. It's possible, it's doable, people do it all the time. Amen. Chavetz Chaim says, read my psicha, where I go through all the los assays and all the assays that are commonly violated when one speaks Lashon Hara, and then go through the details of the halachos, and we'll see that we can do it, and that it's a very, very important thing to avoid.